Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 6. Brahma satisfies Lord Shiva, text 44.
Tvam eva dharma artha duga.
Text what? 43. Excuse me.
Tvam eva bhagavan etat shiva shaktayoho shiva shaktyoho swarupayoho vishvam shrijasi pasi atsi kridan urna pataha yata tvameva bhagavan etach chiva shaktyo swarupayoho vishvam shrijasi pasyatsi kridan urna pato yata tvameva bhagavan etach chiva shaktyo swarupayoho vishvam shrijasi pasyatsi kridan urna pato yata tvameva bhagavan etach Jiva Shaktyo Swarupayo Vishvam Shrijasi Pasyatsi Kridan Urna Patoyata
Tvam, you,
Eva,
certainly,
Bhagavan,
O my Lord,
Etat,
this
Shiva Shaktyoho,
being situated in your auspicious energy,
Swarupyoho,
by your personal expansion,
Vishvam,
this universe,
Srijasi,
create,
Pasi,
maintain.
Atsi,
annihilate.
Kridan,
working.
Urnapataha,
spider's web.
Yata,
just like. Translation, my dear Lord, you create this cosmic manifestation, maintain it, and annihilate it by expansion of your personality, exactly as a spider creates, maintains, and winds up its web. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this verse, the word Shiva Shakti is significant. Shiva means auspicious, and Shakti means energy. There are many types of energies of the Supreme Lord, and all of them are auspicious. Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshvara are called guna avatars, or incarnations of material qualities. In the material world, we compare these different incarnations from different angles of vision, but since all of them are expansions of the supreme auspicious, all of them are auspicious, although sometimes we consider one quality of nature to be higher or lower than the other, than another. The mode of ignorance, or tamoguna, is considered very much lower than the others, but in the higher sense, it is also auspicious. The example may be given herein that the government has both an educational department and criminal department. An outsider may consider the criminal department inauspicious, but from the government's point of view, it is as important as the education department. And therefore, the government finances both departments equally without discrimination. Tvam eva bhagavane tach chiva shaktyo swarupayo vishvam shrijasi pasyatsi kridan urna pato yuta. In the sense that Shiva is Guna avatar and thus empowered by Lord Vishnu, he's able to destroy, but he also has other capabilities. It's like his Shiva Shaktyo, or Shiva Shakti, can also refer to the energy of Shiva, or his wife, Maya Devi. And it is by her arrangement that all the universes are created, maintained. Maya dakshina prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena konteya jagadvi parivartite. So this material energy that works under Lord Krishna and also works under Lord Shiva, because she's the wife of Lord Shiva, she's also servant. Wife is the servant of the husband, and at the same time she's servant of Krishna. Just like Draupadi had 5 husbands, she was serving all of her husbands, but at the same time she's known as a great devotee of Lord Krishna. So that is the position of the energy. She should be devoted to the husband and to Krishna. And that is the position of Lord Shiva and his good Vaishnavi wife. He's doing his task. His task is, in a sense, he has to destroy all the cosmic manifestation. And destruction is principle of the mode of ignorance, tamoguna. He's in charge of the mode of ignorance. It doesn't mean he's under the influence of ignorance, but it's his task. He has to take care of the dirty work, you could say, of this material energy, material world. When Lord Shiva appeared from the forehead of Lord Brahma, he asked, please assign me some names. What will be my name? What will be my place? What will be my activities? And Lord Brahma said yes. He assigned him some places. Fire, devastation, destruction, darkness. These are the places. So it's called the Rudra principle. Wherever we see some exhibition of ignorance or destruction, that is the presence of Lord Rudra. Lord Shiva is there. We are Samkhya philosophers in the sense that we also like to analyze this material energy. We see it in 24 different features, and we also examine it according to Bhagavad Gita, the three modes of material nature. Some things are... This is healthy for us to examine the material energy, how it's working under ignorance. And so then we can see how we're being affected by ignorance, or sometimes we're being affected by passion or goodness. And then, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, we can rise above all three and cut ourselves free, just like this tree of material energy is compared to an upside-down banyan tree. And when one gets caught in a banyan tree forest, it's difficult to get out. But he has to cut himself free. And in order to do that, one needs to understand how the modes are working. Just like the word guna, triguna, tribir gunamaya bhava. Three modes of material nature. Guna also means ropes. So when three ropes are intertwined together, it becomes very difficult to get free. They become extremely strong. So, to get free from those powerful three modes, Krishna says that you have to surrender to me. Maya daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Otherwise, it's very difficult to get out. What about those who are worshippers of Lord Shiva? Generally, people worship Lord Shiva for some material gains. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, kamaistaistar harita jnana prapadyante nyadevata. Those who worship demigods are less intelligent. Their knowledge is harita jnana, their stolen intelligence is gone. Why? Because they generally worship Lord Shiva for material things. Or Lord Indra or Ganesh or Maya, Kali, Durga, so many different demigods. And that's why they're attached to worshiping them, because they want to enjoy this material world, and they think that if I offer some special respect to these demigods, I'll get some material rewards. And Krishna confirms that this is true. You can get, not only can you will get, but still less intelligent, because more intelligent than those who don't worship demigods, because at least by associating with the demigods, one is associating with exalted personalities. And although sometimes it's considered to be in the mode of ignorance or passion, there's different degrees, but still, generally worshiping demigods is considered to be in the mode of goodness, in one sense. So they're better off than those who worship demons, who are considered to be primarily in the mode of passion, or those who worship ghosts and spirits, who are primarily in the mode of ignorance. So at least worshiping demigods, relatively speaking, is better. And that's why it's recommended in the Vedas to worship demigods, because most people are not so intelligent. If you tell them you should worship Krishna and Vishnu, and what will happen? Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. You'll become very renounced, and you'll realize, like the six Goswamis, that you don't need... You'll realize, like the six Goswamis, that you don't need a house, and you don't need food, and you don't need the opposite sex for enjoyment, and you don't need to defend yourself, you don't need money. So when people hear that, or they become very frightened. No, I prefer to worship demigods. They understand my desires. So there's all different types of people according to the three modes of material nature, and they have different desires. And Krishna fulfills their desires, mayaiva vihitan hitan. But even through the demigods, it's actually Krishna who's giving the rewards. But avidipurvakam, it's done in the incorrect way. They're connected with Krishna, but improperly. It's not the proper way. Just like if a criminal thinks, I don't like this government, I'm not going to obey the laws, so he doesn't obey the law, then he's apprehended, put in prison, and then he's forced to obey the law. Everyone has to follow the orders of the Supreme Lord. Nobody is exempt. Sometimes they come up with the idea that there's a devil. There's this one person who's a devil, and he is exempt from following the laws of God. But no, there's no devil. One of our God brothers said that sometimes Lord Shiva is compared in the way. And that's a fair comparison, because he stays where it's, you know, near the crematorium, and he's associated with hellish persons. And he has a hellish task of destroying and misleading, in a sense. Maya, his wife, is also misleading. But Lord Shiva is always auspicious, and he's always surrendered to Sankarshan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's no question of anyone being independent or separate from the Lord. Even sometimes they forget, the demigods. Lord Krishna doesn't take it too seriously. One time Lord Shiva got into a big fight. He took the side of Banasura, and he fought against Krishna. And it was quite a battle. You can imagine Lord Shiva on one side, Krishna on the other side. So both powerful. Ultimately, Krishna was victorious. And Lord Shiva, he apologized. Brahma also forgot. Indra forgot several times. Indra even fought with Krishna when Krishna came to the heavenly planets to return the earrings of Aditi, the mother of the demigods. But you know the story. But while he was going there, he took with him his beloved wife Satyabhama from Dwaraka. They were riding on Garuda, and they arrived there. And after the earrings were returned and he was very nicely received, then Satyabhama, she couldn't resist that they were in the heavenly planets, and she said, "My lord, I have one request. My co-wife, Rukmini, she was given a parijata flower by Narad Muni. And since we're here, and I see these parijata trees here, and I was thinking, could I take one flower from parijata and take it back?" And Krishna said, "Why one flower? You can take the whole tree. Here, take it. Garuda can hold it, no problem." So they were in the process of taking the tree, and Indra said, "Wait a minute, parijata trees don't leave the heavenly planets." Krishna said, no, my wife wants it, it's okay." Indra said, "No, we don't, you know, they stay up here only, we don't want them down on the, you know, earthly planets." Krishna said, no, she wants it. We're taking it." And Indra said, "Not without a fight." So Indra organized the whole demigod armies, and everyone fought against Krishna, and Krishna single-handedly defeated them. But he didn't destroy them, because they're devotees, but sometimes they forget. So that's like a son Sometimes he's a good son, but sometimes he acts in a contrary way to the parents. So the father may chastise him, but he doesn't annihilate him. So why is it allowed to worship demigods? As we mentioned, because by worshiping the demigods, they're in the Vedic system. And the Vedic system includes performing sacrifices for demigods, but in every sacrifice, Vishnu is also worshipped. Yajnavai Vishnu. He's the enjoyer. So whenever they worship demigods, Vishnu is ultimately the enjoyer of that sacrifice. And in that way, they're connected with Vishnu. And even the demigods themselves, they're all devotees of Vishnu. There's no demigod that's not a devotee of Vishnu. Can you think of any? No, they're all devotees of Vishnu. The demons are not devotees of Vishnu. The demons, like Ravana and Kamsa, they don't worship Vishnu. They worship either goddess Kali or Durga or Shiva. Generally, those are the ones they like to worship. Like Kamsa, he was a worshiper of Durga. And Ravana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. So the demons are devotees of demigods, but the demigods are all devotees of Krishna. Therefore, we should join the group of the demigods and also be devotees of Krishna. And what happens if one becomes a devotee of Krishna? Sometimes the question comes up, well, couldn't I worship the demigods also? I don't mind worshiping Krishna. I like Krishna, but I like to worship the demigods also. That's not very good. That's not a very good proposal, because you're sharing your love. Servant of all means servant of none. So if you worship the demigods and you worship Krishna, and sometimes we see different altars, many different gods are on the altar. Sometimes even, I remember I saw one altar have Bruce Lee also on the altar, grandfather, grandmother. So it becomes actually impersonalism. It becomes Mayavad. Because you say you believe in God. Well, who's God? Well, this one's God, this is God, this, everyone's God. Ultimately, we're all God. I'm God. I can do everything I like. And it becomes impersonalism, and that's offensive. Therefore, in the ten types of offenses to the chanting of the holy name, it's specifically mentioned that one should not consider the demigods on the same level as Krishna or Vishnu, because it's offensive. It's like a police chief in a local area, he may be considered very high position, but compared to the governor or to the prime minister, his position is very insignificant. He should be offered respect on appropriately to his position, but if you compare him and say, here the police chief is equal to the prime minister, well, that's an offense to the prime minister. So the analogy here, Urna Pata, spider's web. The spider from within himself, he has saliva, he creates a web, and when he's done, when he wants, he can bring it back within himself. So in the same way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is able to do that. Everything comes from within. When the Lord exhales, then out from within himself come out so many universes expanding. Now, modern science, they also have a theory of expanding universe, but they don't know why it's expanding, because they don't know the source of the universe nor the cause of it. Some of them think that it has no cause, that It's eternal. And some of them think that it happens by accident, or some of them think it comes from the void, or it comes from a singularity. They have so many different theories, but actually they don't know. But our knowledge, even of cosmology, is so much greater than their knowledge. Because from the very beginning, we have the answer, where does the universe come from? Where does this material energy come from? Prabhupada pointed out that even if they say there was a chunk and the chunk exploded, even if we accept the chunk to be Mahatattva, still they don't know where the chunk or the Mahatattva has come from. But those who study the Vedas, they know that the Mahatattva is coming from Krishna. Everything is coming from Krishna. Both material and spiritual worlds. And there's a purpose behind the universe, the material energy, to give the living entities a chance to enjoy matter. Just like, for example, if someone is the secretary of a very big man, very wealthy man, say Mr. Birla. So he has a good position. He's well situated. His family's got a nice house. He's got a nice car, good income, respect. Everything's nice. But if he thinks, maybe, why should I serve him? I can become another Birla. I'll become a Birla myself. Then he goes off, and what happens? He becomes a vagabond. He made a big mistake. He had a good position. He should have stayed there, but he was envious. So that envy, that's what brings us to this material world. We have a good position with Vishnu, with Krishna. Everyone is satisfied. But misuse of the independence of the free will. We have the tendency to make mistakes. That was a big mistake. It is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when the living entity turns his face away from Krishna, Krishna Bahir Mukahana Bhogavan Chakari Nikitasta Mayatari Japati Atari. I think this was mentioned yesterday also. That when one turns his face away from the Lord or becomes envious, Bahir Mukha, then Japati Atari, the material energy slaps him down. This is a kind of corrective measure by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his agents. But it's always good, even though the punishment is there. Living in the material world is certainly a punishment. Some people think that it's a wonderful place to live. But that's a kind of... If someone actually thinks it's a wonderful place to live, it means he's not a very deep thinker. They're not even asking some obvious questions like, if it's such a wonderful place to live, why do I have to grow old? Does anyone like to grow old? Why do they sell anti-aging products now? But there's no products that aging products. You cannot go to any drugstore and say, this will help you age very quickly. No one's interested in buying. They want the anti-aging. We don't want old age. What about disease? Who likes disease? Anyone go to the drugstore and say, which type of disease can I buy? I want to buy different drugs. Or they have, just like we have so many medicines to counteract diseases, but no one goes to the drugstore and say, which disease, could I get some, do you have cancer in a concentrated form? I'd like to get some cancer, or do you have something that will give me heart disease very quickly? No. No one wants disease. No one wants old age. No one wants death. Everyone's trying. Even a person who's not very wealthy or not very good looking or whatever, still they want to live. Or not only humans, even the bugs, which we consider, despicable, Still, they're thinking they want to live also. So anyone who says that this material world is a wonderful place to live, they have bumper stickers in America. It says, visualize world peace. Such a nice thought. Everything, we're going to have peace simply by visualizing it. But since when has there been any peace in this material world? There's not even peace within one's own body. The bad germs are killing off the good germs, and ultimately the bad germs win. The body dies. It's all finished. And then, what happens? Well, according to one's desires, one is forced into another situation. If he's committed sinful activities, and that refers to the humans, because dogs and cats and lower species, they can't commit sinful activities, so they don't go to hell. But human beings who commit sinful activities, they can go to hell. They will go to hell. And then they have to go there, and there's 28 planetary systems called the hellish planets, Naraka Loka. And those 28 systems are then comprised into many thousands of subdivisions of heaven, hellish planets, where one has to go for all the different types of sins that he's committed, and he has to be punished. Fifth canto gives some graphic descriptions. We won't go into the details now. But anyone who claims that, oh, this world is so nice, what about the hellish planets? It's not so nice. What about reading the newspaper? What about the hospitals? Go to the hospitals, you see it's not such a nice place, and everyone ends up in a hospital. And then after the hellish planets, then one is suffering so much, they say, have you had enough now? Yes. All right, here, we'll give you this body. And then he has to take one of the 8,400,000 species of life. All right, take this body of a worm and stool. Yes, I'll be happy to take all the bodies you give me. Just get me out of this hell. So then he has to go through again, this time as a worm. And it's not that if he's a worm, he doesn't get old. Worms also get old. Worms also have diseases. You may not know all the diseases, but the worms have diseases. Has anyone studied worm diseases here? Well, are there any veterinarians here? Veterinarians study the diseases of animals. They have diseases. They get cancer. They get all types of diseases. So the animals get diseases, the worms, the insects get diseases, and they also get old. And they're afraid. Don't think the worms aren't afraid. Why are they hiding under the rocks? They're full of fear, full of anxiety, stress. The birds are in stress. The monkeys are in stress. Everyone's in stress. Everyone's in anxiety. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. This place is meant for misery, for suffering. So anyone who thinks that this material world is a very nice place, he's not a very deep thinker. Thus, one who worships demigods, he's also not a very deep thinker, because he's simply asking, let me enjoy in this material world. But even the demigods are not enjoying. You may say, well, Indra's getting more enjoyment, but Indra's also in anxiety. Sometimes Indra, he loses his whole heavenly kingdom and he has to flee and he has to go and live inside some water. He has to use his mystic powers just to stay in the water. Now, how's that? For one whose honor dishonors worse than death. But sometimes Indra's dishonored. Sometimes he becomes cursed. He has to take the body of a pig for some time. So even the demigods are not happy here in this material world. What to speak of the lower species? Therefore, ultimately, worshiping demigods is less intelligent. But if the Vedic culture can bring them to the point of worshiping Krishna in a gradual process,
Sometimes it takes many lifetimes to come up to the point of realizing that I should worship Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the most munificent incarnation of the Lord, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Tushema, he's given a process that makes the whole system very easy just by chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just by chanting Hare Krishna, one becomes a devotee of Krishna. Even if he's an atheist, even if he's a demon, even if he's a demigod worshiper, doesn't matter what, if he chants Hare Krishna, he becomes a devotee. This is the beauty of the Maha Mantra. It turns everyone into devotees. It may take a little time if they're still attached to material things, but eventually, because they get a taste, there was on Halloween, they have a holiday, if you want to call it a holiday, in America called Halloween. And when I was in Tampa, a city there, they have a big festival on that day, or that night. And the whole city is blocked off, and everyone comes there, and they have a big gathering of millions, thousands and thousands of people. And everyone drinks a lot of liquor. And so the devotees were out that night, and they stay up till late at night. So we were out chanting Hare Krishna. And hundreds and hundreds of people were chanting with us. They dress up. They also put on costumes like some kind of hobgoblins and ghouls and witches. So they dress like that, and then they're drinking also. So the combination turns out to be quite favorable for chanting, because they think that no one knows who they are, and they're already a little intoxicated, so they feel their inhibitions are reduced. So they think, why not chant Hare Krishna? I always wanted to do it anyway. So they start chanting and dancing Hare Krishna, hundreds of them, and they make spiritual advancement, even though they're intoxicated. It cuts through the intoxication. They get a taste that they'll never get through anything else. There are many examples of persons who became devotees, but by chanting Hare Krishna when they were intoxicated. So it's not a disqualification. We encourage even intoxicated people to chant, or people who are eating meat, we encourage them to chant also. It's not that only vegetarians can chant Hare Krishna. Everyone. So thank you very much. We have a few minutes if there's any questions.
You were speaking on the situation of the hellish planets and saying it reminded me of who's ever in the hellish planets, like they have a choice. So now, is that how it goes? You were saying, okay, now are you ready to take another birth in the planet Earth? You have 8,400,000 opportunities.
Well, yeah, the living entities always have choice. Even they can surrender to the Lord at that point and be free. And sometimes they do. When Narad Muni goes down to the hellish planet, so many become liberated just by his association. When Lord Krishna blew his conch shell, so many persons down there heard that auspicious sound and became liberated. So even from the hellish planets, everyone always has a choice. But generally, when one is habituated to act in sinful ways, he prefers sinful life. If you may go to, if you're on Harinam sometime or Sankirtan, and you see some person that you think, this person's suffering so much, they're in, you've seen them in a wheelchair, they can't move, they can only have some straw in their mouth and they can move. They can't. You think, this person for sure will be interested in Krishna consciousness. Surely this person will be happy to learn that they're not the body. They can't even move their body. But you go up to that person and they say, get away from here, you get a job. I've had it happen many times. I was thinking, for sure this person will be interested. But no, he didn't get there by accident. And he's habituated, thinking, no, I'm enjoying myself very nicely. You're the fool. So this is the nature of the material energy. It covers one so much that one thinks he's happy. Even the worm, if you take a worm away from stool, he'll crawl back into the stool. He says, what are you disturbing me for? Back to Avatar.
Jay Maharaj, thank you for a wonderful class. I hear that you're working on a very exciting project in Florida called Krishna World. Could you say a little bit about that?
Maybe afterwards I can, okay. Individually I can speak with.
Hare Krishna, giving us a clue of what Shiva does, and I just think that Brahma is approaching Shiva in a very respectful manner by pointing out his qualities, and I see, you know, one of the big things that's been going on in the past few lessons is showing respect to one another, and it's a very easy thing to do, to find a quality in someone else. Everyone has qualities, and we should be focusing in on people's qualities and building them up instead of tearing each other down. And this whole lesson, this is a very big lesson that's been going on with what happened to Lord Shiva. And I was sitting here listening to your class, and I'm thinking, well, you said that wherever there's big destruction, there is Lord Shiva. And I'm thinking in the past decade or so, we've had 9/11, and Shiva's there, and Bombay last year, there was, terrible terroristic acts going on all over the world. So Shiva's there too. And so when will Brahma actually begin to speak? In the next couple of slokas?
Well, even Shiva is present. In the arti ceremony we sing every night, Shiva Shuka Narada. He's also engaged in worshiping Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's taking part in the Sankirtan movement. Sometimes Advaitacharya is described as Sadashiva, we read. So he's calling down Lord Krishna to come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So all the inauspiciousness will be counteracted by the association of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.